Tonight to be here. God's good tonight, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen. I don't know about you, but I've been thinking the last few weeks, you've seen how God's been using our pastor.
Amen.
I'm telling you, God's given him strength. He's preached hard, and the messages he's preached is those that you take home with you. They don't just rub off. I have to go home and tell Shelley about it. I'm telling you, good preaching, brother. I appreciate our pastor tonight so much. I really do appreciate the opportunity to be able to stand again this evening. If you would open your Bibles to the book of Jonah, chapter number 4 tonight. Jonah, chapter number 4 this evening. Begin reading tonight at verse number 1. Jonah, chapter 4 and verse number 1. You pray for us tonight. Pray God give us something from his word. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Let's bow our heads and pray. My Father, I'm so thankful tonight for the word of God. It's infallible, inerrant. Lord, I know tonight that I can stand on what thus saith thy word. I'm so thankful tonight, as our sister sang a few minutes ago, that I'm anchored in the blood of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Glory to thy precious name. Thank you for blessing us today, this morning, in the morning service. Lord, your presence was so rich. We need you tonight. We love you. We thank you for saving our soul. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated tonight. I've been studying the past several months, just seemed like back and forth in the book of Jonah. I got to digging and looking, and, you know, there's a lot tonight that say that the book of Jonah is a fictional book. They say it's an allegory. It's just a story. It's a child's story. But I believe with all of my heart in the historical truth of the book of Jonah. I believe tonight that it belongs in our Bible. Matthew chapter number 12, our Lord Jesus Christ, even preaching to the nation of Israel, especially the Pharisees, they were requesting a sign to be given them. And he said, there shall no sign be given to them except the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That's Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ several times mentioned Jonah as being an authority in the Scripture. I want to bring a message by the help and grace of God tonight on the mercies that we find in the book of Jonah. The mercies. And I'm not gonna preach the entire book tonight of Jonah, but we know tonight pretty much the story of the book of Jonah. Starts out in chapter number 1 that God sent his word unto Jonah and told him to rise up and go and preach to Nineveh. And Jonah, instead of going to Nineveh, he went down and bought a ticket from Joppa to go to Tarshish. And oh, listen, anytime you run from God, Tarshish was exactly the opposite way, direction that Jonah should have been going. And God told him to go to Nineveh and preach the word that I've put in thy mouth to preach unto them. And listen, I know tonight that Nineveh was Assyrian. That made them the enemy of the nation of Israel. And sometimes God puts us in uncomfortable situations in order to get his work and his job and purpose done in this life. Amen. As we know tonight that the scripture said that Jonah went down in the sides of the ship and he fell asleep. But God sent a storm out into the waters. The scripture said this, and I'm going to go through this briefly tonight, but there is some mercy that we find in chapter number 1. And some grace. Jonah went down into the ship. The scripture said that he went to sleep. And God sent a storm out in the water. It was all ordained of Almighty God. And listen, we ought not run from God, but we ought to run to God. That's the direction we ought to go. We need him tonight more than anything on the face of this earth. That's why I'm so grateful when God decides to visit us with his presence. And listen, we know. I've been in some services where people tried to work it up and bring God down. You can't bring God down. Listen, when God decides to visit and the people's hearts are open, then God will visit. And listen, we need to run toward God tonight and not away from him. Hey, some of you sitting here tonight, no doubt, that are running from God. Our pastor has preached week after week. The Holy Ghost has dealt with your heart about something, and you knew that you need to come to this altar and get your heart right with God. But instead, you said, maybe another time, another season. Right now's not the exact time. And so you go back out the door and you leave here miserable. Don't run from God tonight. There's no place on the face of this earth and heaven or under the earth that you can hide from God. Listen, God's everywhere. He's almighty. He's omnipresent. I'm glad, thank God, that I can go out in the field and get on my knees and begin to pray. Or I can go out in the shed out back, or I can go up on the hillside somewhere and begin to talk to God and find out that God is just as much there as anywhere else. I can reach out in prayer and God comes and visits in such a special way, and it's personal to me. He knows how to talk to me. Sometimes I'm stubborn and I get down and I ask God over and over and over. I said, Lord, I know I'm asking again. I know I'm asking again. I wonder tonight how many would be honest and say, preacher, I'm the same way. I ask over and over and over, God, are you sure? He said, I'm sure. And sometimes, just like the preacher taught the other night on doubt, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. And no, I want to believe. I want to be that believer tonight. And I want to run toward God. But sometimes we're so prone to stray. And so it was with Jonah. He said, I'm not going to Nineveh. Him being a prophet, the Bible said in 2 Kings, he called him a prophet. Our Lord Jesus Christ called Jonah a prophet. He is a preacher of the Word of God. And a preacher tonight ought to have a message to preach, regardless of where we're at. I thank God tonight for the doors that he opens for me. I never go out. I never ask. I never beg. I don't hand out no cards and say I'm ready to preach. I wait on God and let God open the door. And God had opened a door unto Nineveh and said, Jonah, I want you to go there and preach the word unto them. And Jonah found himself in a storm. Anytime you get away from God, you're going to get in trouble. Every single time. Now listen, God will let you go just a little ways. You might go just a little farther, and your heart begin to trouble you, and things get upset inside, and your joy is gone, and that burning desire to be with God, it begins to dissipate. And then God's got a way to get your attention and to bring you back. Jonah got down in there and fell asleep. Them old fellers on the ship, when that storm rose up and began to toss that ship, the Bible said the storm was so bad that it was likened to destroy the ship. It was about to break apart. And so them old fellers, Jonah running from Nineveh, which was the Assyrians that was the enemies of Israel, he got down inside of a ship with a bunch of idolaters. Isn't that strange? Isn't that odd? I'm so struck sometimes. Sometimes I've counseled many more than I could even begin to think, or at my age now even remember that I've sat down and talked to, that I would rather go to worldly counsel, go to somebody on a job that don't even know God, go to somebody that don't know God and try to get counsel about God to help their life. That's plumb ignorance to me. I want to say tonight that this Bible, I believe it from cover to cover. I don't understand it all, but everything we need to know about our life and the life we're living is in the pages of that book right there. And if you search it, you can find it out. God's got the answer. Them old fellas on that ship begin to cry unto their gods. You look in your Bible and it's little bitty g. They were idols, little bitty gods. They were screaming and crying out and begging to their gods. And then the shipmaster went down into the hull of the ship and gave Jonah a nickname and called him Old Sleeper. Brother Lawson, I've pastored a few of them. I know there's diseases out there that some people can't stay awake, but boy, I tell you, they're bad to nod off during the preaching. Well, they shoot out when the singing's going on. And, oh, when the preaching of the Word of God, their head begins to bow and nod. And I tell you, they look cross-eyed, their eyes roll back in the back of their head. And listen tonight, the Word of God is above everything. And that's what we need to pay attention to. Don't be a sleeper. They woke him up and the shipmaster said, what are you doing? Said, wake up. And if you'll look and read in your Bible, he said, pray unto thy God. Capital G-O-D. Jonah's God was a different God than the God of the world. I'm going to tell you something. We serve a God tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, that all things were made by him and for him was everything made. You go out at night, look at the stars of heaven, and I think about how God just placed them there. He just spoke them into existence. He spoke the earth into existence. The waters that covered the face of the earth. He said, let it move. Everything God said come to pass just like he said it. Amen. Said, pray unto thy God. Oh, listen, those fellas, they got all curious, and you find it all throughout the Bible. They practice a thing called casting lots. They said, man, this evil's come upon us. We need to find out which one of us standing here is causing this to come upon us in these waters. Cast lots, and it fell upon Jonah. Jonah was a person. If I was you tonight, I'd be skeptical about everybody that gets in the boat with me and with you. Amen. Amen. I learned a long time ago. I didn't think so at first. I thought everybody carried a Bible under their arm was Christians. After pastoring a little while, and finding out just how mean those Christians could be, I learned that not everybody in the church is saved by the grace of God. A lot of people like to talk about God. Those in our government like to talk about God. They like to talk about praying on television and advertisement, but do they know the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the only true God. He is the only way of salvation. They ask him, what country are you from? Who are you? What are you doing here? They told him, Jonah told him, said, I'm fleeing from God. That's what he told them. Read your Bible in chapter number 1. I'm running from God. He said, I'm a Hebrew. No, listen. Listen tonight to me.
The Bible said this, that when they said this, he said, I fear the Lord God that created the sea and the land. And they got exceedingly afraid. And they said, what can we do? What can we do to stop this from these waters and calm these? We're all about to die. What can we do? He said, only one thing you can do, and that's to throw me overboard. Cast me over the boat. I got to reading in there, and you know something? They have more heart than most Baptists do. They just didn't immediately grab Jonah up and toss him aside. They kept on roaring at you. Hey, that's the last thing. Just kept rolling and kept rolling. And God kept that wind against them, and they couldn't do a thing because God had a purpose. And finally, it come down to the place that they said, oh, Lord God, don't let this innocent blood be upon our hands. If this is what we got to do, we got to do it. And they tossed Jonah overboard, and the Bible said this, that the sea was calm immediately. You know what they done? They began to thank and praise God. Boy, I was praising God. This morning, I'm telling you, I felt like a jackhammer. I knew when the Holy Ghost began to move up here in the choir. And people began to shout. I heard shouting all over this place. And I'm telling you, just like the wind and the presence of the Holy Ghost just began to move right out. I felt like a jack. I couldn't sit there. I had to stand up and lift my hand to the God of glory. I love him tonight. Oh, I love him because what he done for me. Oh, I'm telling you, when I was sorry and low down as a sinner, oh, I was wretched and vile. Those men cried out unto the Lord God, and the Bible said that they offered sacrifices up unto God. Ours were the first converts in the ship to the true God. That's the mercy of God. They were praying to other gods and idols while all this storm was going on, and then they met the God of Jonah. And it changed everything. Chapter number 2 is filled with Jonah in the whale's belly. Scientists say there's no way that a whale could swallow a man. Jesus said he could. So I believe it. Jonah went down. He said he went down to the bottoms of the mountain, and he said that out of hell I cry. I'm glad I serve a God of a second chance. After the whale got sick of Jonah, he spit him out on the shore. And God said that the second time the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, and Jonah was then ready to go. I tell you what, you get a striping or two from the Almighty, you'll be ready to do. I remember several years ago, I went and visited a feller. He's dying of cancer, stage 4 cancer. The doctor said you've got about 4 to 6 months to live. And that fellow said, I've wasted all my life. Wasted all of here. I've got 4 to 6 months. Said, if God had just let me, I'd go anywhere that God wants me to go. I'd go to the mission field. I'd go here. I'd go there. I'd tell everybody about the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't wait till it's too late. Bible tells us tonight that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. The reason that God sent Jonah unto Nineveh was because their wickedness had come up before God. And so God sent him back. He got a day's journey into Nineveh, right in the center of it. It's called several times in the book of Jonah as the great city. This is about approximately 60 to 90 miles wide. Depends on what day's journey you figure, how much you're carrying, whatever. They figure about a day's journey is 18, 20 mile to 30 mile. So you figure that. He got in the center of the city, and Jonah began to preach, and it was a simple message. some of the greatest messages I've ever heard in my life are the simplest. I love Brother Ed Blue, and listen, I still talk about him in the present tense. He may not physically be here, but he's on the other side. He could preach just so simple, just so very simple that even the smallest young child in this building would be attentive to him and could understand everything he preached. The simplest sometimes of things can be the most profound upon people. Eight little words that Jonah said. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's simple, straightforward. I like for people to be direct with me. Don't beat around the bush. Just be straight with me. If you don't like me, then just tell me. I don't care much for you. Well, I said, well, okay, sister, brother, that's all right with me. We can still fellowship. I've had a lot of people down through the years say, I don't care much for you. So, you just preach too hard. You preach too long. And listen, I just don't believe everything you preach. Oh, I'm sorry, you don't believe the Bible. I try to preach every word I can straight from the scripture. Amen. I love expository preaching. Amen. I like verse by verse preaching. Yes. Eight little words, and you know what happened? The people of Nineveh believed God. They believed him. Oh, we're going to be overthrown. Our city's going to be destroyed. These Assyrian people that bowed down to idols, that cried out to the gods, the moon, the stars, and everything else, they believed the message that Jonah brought. I believe that message was bathed in the Holy Ghost. You can't get saved apart from the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, except my Father which sent me draw you. That's the drawing of the Holy Ghost. He's the light. You know what Jesus said, I believe it is in about Luke chapter number 11, to those Pharisees and the children of Israel, he said that Jonah was a sign unto Nineveh. They were looking for a sign. And he turned around and told them and said, Jonah was a sign to Nineveh. So I began to study that and looked at it. I tell you, I read over that several times. A sign, a sign, a sign, a sign. What the Lord was saying was this. This was Nineveh's last hope. He was a lighthouse standing on a hillside. And the message that is preached was the final message they were going to hear. And if they didn't believe it, then they would be overthrown. He was light bearer. He bore the word of the living God. This word. David said, I say it because it's some of my favorite. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path. It does. It shows me where I'm standing tonight. Shows me where I'm going. And thanks be unto God that all that in the past, everything that I was up until January 1st, 1977, God said, I forgot every bit of that. I'm telling you tonight, it was ugly, 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 ugly. I was ugly. I'm telling you, I said, preacher, you're still ugly. I'm not talking about physical. I know all about that. I got to look at that every morning in the mirror and shave. I understand what you're saying, but I'm talking about I was ugly on the inside. I was so full of bitterness, so full of hatred. I despised everybody I come in contact with, and if they looked at me wrong, I was ready to fight. I was full of nothing but the devil, living after the world. And thanks be unto God, that New Year's Eve night that the Word of God was being preached, and all of a sudden that light was turned on for me, a light I'd never seen before, and the Holy Ghost began to convict me. Something come over me that I'd never experienced in all of my life, and I've done everything come down the pike. That conviction, I was miserable. I knew that if I died right then, I'd split hell wide open. Thanks be to God that He gave me the breath of air and the steps to walk down that altar that night and get on my face and cry out and stand up a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. I am not tonight what I was, nor am I tonight what I shall be. Glory to God, if that ain't enough to make you shout tonight, you're unshoutable. I'm about to have a spell tonight. Glory to God. I'm thankful tonight. I'm grateful. Thanks be to God that He saw me, that He had compassion on me, He had mercy on me, and He came to me at the right time. Well, preacher, what'd you say that night? I can't remember it. I can't remember. And the older I get, the less I remember. But I can take you there. I can take you to the place. I can show you the spot. I can show you the last spot I throwed my last bag of dope and pipe at. I can take you there tonight. I know what God done for me. Glory to God. He changed me, not from the outside in, from the inside out. Glory. I'm not whitewashed. I'm blood washed now. I'm bought with a price. I'm one of God's little children tonight. Woo, glory to God. I'm thankful for that. Bless His name tonight. If I don't get away from that, I'm not going to finish my message tonight. I'm plumb filled up. I always wondered, I got to say this tonight. My grandmother in heaven now, she was a preacher's wife for 50-something odd years. Oh boy, I tell you what, she didn't care to tell you to your face. Old feller asked her one time, said, "You want to go square dancing Saturday night?" She said, "Can you witness and tell people about Jesus square dancing?" That's the way Mama Collins was. That's what we called her. She'd sit down, and I'd spend the night over there quite often. She'd sit down in one of them little one-finger teacups. I hate them. I hate them. I get cramps in my fingers now. I got to grab them, preacher, sometimes and pull them and straighten them out. It's miserable. Hurts something awful. She had that little one-finger teacup. And she'd fill that teacup up. And I said, "Mama Collins, it's about to spill over." She said, "That's what I want it to do." And she said, "Spill it over down in the saucer." And I'd watch her, and she'd sit there, and she'd pick up the saucer and the cup at the same time and reach in there and grab that little cup and begin to sip from the saucer. Glory to God, every once in a while, that's what I like. I like to be filled up and overflow and drink from the saucer, glory to God. And I was drinking from the saucer this morning, and I've been drinking all afternoon from the saucer. Lord, I'm going to try to get away from it. They believed God and began to repent from the king. The king took his robe off, tossed it aside. He proclaimed a fast throughout all of Nineveh. He said, "I don't want no men, women, boys, or girls. I don't want no flock. I don't want nobody to eat nothing. I don't want anybody to drink any water. We're going to call on God and see if God will change His mind." Sometimes God decides that He did with Hezekiah, didn't He? Added 15 years to his life. Boy, they got in sackcloth and ashes, and they prayed out to the Almighty God. They sought the face of God. And the Bible said this, that God looked down and saw their works. They repented. He saw the works of repentance. Except ye repent, ye shall all in likewise perish. And God said, okay, I'm going to change my mind. It says he repented of the evil, but that don't mean God has to repent for nothing. It just simply means that he changed his mind and said, at this time, I'm not going to destroy Nineveh. You'll have to go a century ahead and study about it. And what I just said to you is exactly what Jonah got mad about. He got angry. Now, as a child of God tonight, I don't care how mean you are. I don't matter how wicked you've been in your life, and you want to get saved tonight, this altar's open. And if you get saved tonight, I'm not going to get angry at God. I'm going to rejoice with you. Jonah got mad because his enemy repented. He got plumb angry. It displeased him. It said in Irish, it said displeased. That means it was a heavy, it was a distress upon him. And I love what Jonah said. He said, I know. Did I not say this back in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Let me show you something tonight about Jonah. Jonah was so upset. He said, just take my life from me. We got to preach to our enemies as much as we do our friends. You may have enemies here in the church tonight, and it ought not be. If you do, you're not right with God. That's plainly stated, isn't it? If you hate your brother, what are you? You're a murderer. You can't hate your brother and be right with God. Amen. Somebody here a while back said, oh, can I say this? Is it all right for me to say this?
Come on.
Can I?
Yeah.
Can I, Brother Sam?
Yeah, tell him, brother.
Oh, Lord God, they're back. Gets quiet, don't it? You know why? Because you know I'm telling the truth. Man, I tell you what, I wish they'd just hit the door and be gone. Just be gone. I read across something today. Just blowed my mind. I'm not going to give you no names or anything like that, but somebody just heard about somebody else being dead, and they just said, I'm glad they're dead. How can you be right in your mind and be glad that they're dead? Boy, I tell you what, I believe if I could drop a pen tonight, I believe you could hear it to the back row. Our pastor said last Sunday, he said, them doors are open back there.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
For anyone and everyone, I don't care what walk of life,
yeah,
whatever you're doing, you're welcome. We're here to preach the word and help you.
Amen.
Amen. Are we here to help or not?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen, Brother Roger. So Jonah went outside the east side of the city, got out the other side, built himself a little tent, a booth is what it says, and sat down and said, I'm going to see what happens to this city. I'm just going to watch it, and I'm going to see it. You ever feel like that sometimes when you walk in, people just stare? No smile, they just stare the whole through you. Jonah said, I'm going to sit here and see what becomes of this city. Jonah had to learn a lesson. He had to learn something. And I'm not quite sure the way the book ends if he totally learned it or not. Jonah got inside that booth. I'm telling you, it was hot. It had to be the summertime. He got in there for shade and he watched that city. And just overnight, a gourd grew right up over top of that little hut. I can see Jonah. He said, man, look at that. This stuff right up over my head. I'm gonna scoop back just a little bit more under the shade and get out of the heat of the sun. Oh, I'm about to die here in this heat. And he got up underneath the shade of that sun. Well, I tell you, the Bible said that he was exceedingly happy over that gourd.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, that day in the shade of that gourd was happy about that, and then God sent a worm.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
And that old gourd withered overnight.
That's right.
He got up the next morning and looked at that thing, and oh, he was so unhappy. He was so angry about that gourd. Withered up on him. If that wasn't enough, God also prepared a behemoth, that meant a hot east wind, that beat down upon him. I mean, bared down. You know how it is in the summer. 100 degrees here in East Tennessee and the humidity way up high. I'm telling you, you can just get outside 5 minutes and you're soaking wet with sweat. Jonah was suffering in the heat. Bible said it was so bad he fainted. Just passed right out. He said, it's better for me to die than to live. Sometimes we get in a place like that and feel sorry for ourselves.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, not me, preacher. Then you're better than Elijah and you're better than me.
Yeah.
Then God asked him again. Verse number 9, chapter number 4. God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Did you notice back up in verse number 4 when the Lord asked him, doest thou well to be angry? Jonah never answered that. But he did about the gourd. You see, that's our comfort zone. See, we don't want nothing to disturb our little circle.
Yes.
Our little circle. Don't come inside my circle. You know what always disturbed me in churches that I've pastored down through the years? I guess I can't remember 24, 26 years of pastoring. It's cliques all over the place. You get your little circle back here, and they start running their mouth. You got a circle up here, start running their mouth. And then that circle won't talk to that circle. Before you know it, you got a divided house. And a house that's divided can't stand. It'll fall.
Amen.
Well, a lot of marriages fail. They get to bickering with one another, get angry with one another. Yeah. They say words that they can't take back. It's no wonder James said that this little tongue right here is poison. It's on fire of hell. You say something, and when it's out there, you can't take it back. Try to swallow them. You can't reach them. that he answered that question. Dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it to grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. Here's God's answer to Jonah. Jonah failed to see that every human being on the face of this planet deserves to hear the word of God.
Amen.
This church I know supports missionaries on the mission field. I remember supporting Brother Tommy Tillman, one of my favorite missionaries. Go out to eat with that brother, and I'm telling you what, he'd eat the plate full. He'd eat everything, and there'd be a little basket of rolls left. And I said, brother, you ready to go? He said, you going to eat them rolls? I said, no, I'm not going to eat them rolls, brother. I'm full. He said, you mind if I bag them up and take them with me? I said, you go right ahead. We support missionaries to send them into the field to preach the gospel of the grace of God. I don't know how many missionaries we support here. Doesn't matter. It's important we support it. I preached at a little old church here a while back, run 90 people, and they were supporting almost 50 missionaries. $70 a month. That's a lot of missionaries for just that group of people. It doesn't matter how anybody, the street, anywhere, the jails, the prisons, they all need to hear the preaching of God's word. Jonah failed to see the worth of the soul of mankind and rather see them as their enemy. I hate like everything, the war that we're in right now.
Yeah.
Every time you turn the news on, somebody's died, a bomb's blowed up, there's death.
Yeah. Amen.
I know what Ecclesiastes said. The Bible tells us, Solomon said, there's a time for war, there's a time for peace. There's a time to be born, there's a time to die. I understand all that stuff, but I still don't like it.
Yeah.
And when somebody says, I'm glad they're dead, that just crawls under my skin. Because I don't know if that person they're talking about died and went to hell or not.
Yeah.
And if they died and went to hell tonight, they're screaming and begging right now. Wanting out of that place. Lord, should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. Over 60,000 people. Over 60,000 souls. That little 8-word message converted them back to God. Say, how can that be, preacher? This Bible's alive.
Yeah.
I was blessed this year, me and my wife. We got every single one of our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren a Bible for Christmas. What greater gift can you give than the Word of God? I've got some grandchildren and some great-grandchildren that's been under some preaching, a little bit of preaching, but for the majority, they're out. They're away from God. But the preaching they heard has been sown in their heart. It's alive. Somewhere, God will send somebody along to water what's been sown. And one day I'm praying that my children, my great-grandchildren, said, "Preacher, them great-grandchildren, they're just about 8 months old." Well, you figure I'm 70 years old. I'm on the other side of it, headed towards 71. I don't know if I'll ever see them as a teenager, so why not pray now? If the Lord tarries his coming, and I'm gone, and say the Lord doesn't come back for another 20, 30 years, I want to pray conviction of the Holy Ghost on their soul. When they come to the age of accountability. I'm going to tell you something tonight. You mean something to God. You mean so much that God sent his son to die. Did you know that the Apostle Paul said that we were enemies? We were enemies. But the Son of God came down. It's like he took the hand of the Father. He was the Father, but he was in flesh. And he died upon the cross and shed his blood for every single soul. Not just living now, but for all eternity. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't take it away. But the blood of Jesus Christ cast our sin in the depths of the sea, never to be remembered no more. Let's bow our heads tonight. That's the message God put on my heart. Brother Barry, you come with whatever's on your heart. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Nobody's looking around. I'm just going to ask you tonight, is anybody here tonight that's lost without God? Lost. You're a sinner, you're lost. Anybody tonight's not right with God? You've had bitterness, you've had anger. Been about as angry as Jonah has been. I said, "Preacher, just pray for me. My Father, I've brought what you put on my heart. I've done the best I could tonight. I couldn't get away from this, Lord. You put it on my heart. And I thank you for it. Don't apologize for the Word of God. Lord, have your will, your way, your purpose tonight. Thank you for every blessing of life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." Preacher, if you would, you just go ahead and come. Do whatever you want tonight.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Bless you.
God bless you, brother. That's good.